For the rest of us, would you turn in your Bibles with me to Mark 1, Gospel of Mark 1, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 39. We are going to cover a lot of different scriptures today. Fair warning, you might want to grab the back of the bulletin or notepaper or something to jot down scriptures. I want to talk to you about retreats today, not retweets. Retreats. I need to clarify the day and age we're living in, right? Retreats. We are living in a time where there are so many distractions. Am I right on that? I know I can get distracted real easy. Of course, I might be a little ADD. But we can get so distracted. And guess what? The enemy's goal is to do all he can to keep us distracted, to keep us from center. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to cover the way Jesus dealt with this, because the devil was always trying to distract him, and people were always after him. And if he would have let it happen, he could have had a lot of distractions and dissuaded him from the purpose that he came for. Likewise, we can be distracted and taken off center and leave the path that God has for us. That's the best plan, right? So we need to follow Jesus' example in the retreats that he took to keep himself on center and on task, all right? So Mark 1, 35 through 39 is our foundational scripture. And it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you will unfold your word for us today by your Spirit. That, Lord, you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all that you be glorified in it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus not only had the habit of regularly attending public worship. In Luke 4, verse 16, it says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. So he stood up to read, but he went apart repeatedly to talk with and receive help from the Father. It is interesting to note the circumstances that provided the occasion for our Lord's going apart for a private worship experience. Guys, we all need private time with God. Whether it be in the morning, when we get up, whether we have it at lunchtime from work, or whether we have it at night before we go to bed. To be honest with you, first thing when we wake up is the best time because it sets the tone for the rest of our day. But sometimes that don't work for people. I understand. Everybody's different. Some people are not morning people. Okay? Some are just not. I'm an early morning riser. I like early morning. And, it's kind of amazing how that has switched from when I was a teenager. And in my 20s, I was a night owl. I'll leave it at that, all right? I grew up, waking up early on the farm, raised on a farm. Had to be down at the barn at 5:15 to get ready to milk cows 7 days a week. So got used to getting up early and getting going. kind of my life, except when I was in them goofy years. I'll leave that as it is. I'll let that lay. But Jesus on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue as it was his custom. We don't want to forget that either. We thank God for all of you that are here because we need each other. Rambo only works in movies. God never designed us to be Rambos in this walk with Christ. He designed us to have fellowship with one another and to have unity. Okay? But along with that, he designed us that we need communion with him. Just he and us. We need those retreats when we strive to come back to center. First major point. Jesus was strongly led by the Spirit to go away into a desert place at the beginning of his earthly ministry. We can look at Mark 1, verses 12 and 13 for that. It says that once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan, he was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Now this happened right after he was baptized. Immediately after he was baptized, the Spirit came on him in the form of a dove. Yes? You with me? And the Spirit came on him in the form of a dove, and immediately the Spirit of God led him out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by the devil. Wow. Did you ever wonder why we go through times of temptation? If Jesus went through it, maybe we're going through some of it. Amen? Sometimes we fail to recognize that the Holy Spirit strongly led our Lord into a desert place as he sought the direction and methods for his redemptive ministry. The 40 days in the wilderness were a period of intense communion with God. Our Lord talked to his Father, and we can be sure that the Father talked to his Son. Even the angels ministered to him during this time. Jesus needed retreat times as well. Second major point, Jesus retreated to a place of prayer when the responsibilities of life weighed heavily upon him. Mark 1 and verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus retreated. We see it throughout Scripture. We're going to see it more and more as we go through this message. If he needed time with his Father, how much more do we need one-on-one time with our Savior? For me, early morning is the best time. There are very few distractions. Oh, there's a couple of friends of mine that will send me texts at 4 o'clock in the morning. So once in a while there's a little bit of distraction. But most of the time, in the wee hours of the morning, there's not a lot of distraction, and we can just get with Jesus. We need those times so that we can come back to center, because living in this world, as I said earlier in the opening of this message, between Satan and this world, everything is working to get us off center. And when we get into these retreats with Jesus, spend that time, it brings us back to center, back into the perfect will that God has for our lives. Jesus found it necessary to go apart to be with God that he might receive strength, guidance, and help as he faced both the opportunities and the duties that were his. If Jesus needed a prayer retreat in the face of his responsibilities, it follows that we also need to go apart for communion with our God. Listen, guys, I know life is busy. You know, it is. It seems like everything can swallow up a day. Things just happen. One phone call can change everything. But somehow, we have to carve out time to spend with our God. Because I'm telling you from experience, the time we spend is not spent. It pays back dividends. It's not really spent. It's invested. And it pays back dividends. We really need that time alone with our God so that we can not only speak to Him, but even more, that we can listen. Remember, God created us with one mouth to speak and two ears to listen. So maybe we need to spend twice as much time listening as we do speaking. What do you think? Third major point. When choices need to be made, our Lord made them only after serious reflection and communion with the Father. Listen, especially for those of us who are impulsive. We all too often run off and do whatever has come into our minds or hearts and just do it and then expect God to bless it. And then we get frustrated with God because He didn't bless our plans. After all, isn't He supposed to be our Jack in the Box? Huh? God's not a Jack in the Box. He's not a genie in a bottle. God's got a beautiful plan for our life, as we've talked about a couple of times in the last month. Here we are again. We need reminded of this all the time. God's got a beautiful plan for our life. Will we submit to it? Will we allow Him to be the Lord of our life? Will we take the time to nurture the relationship with Him that brings us back to center, which we were talking about, God's plan for our life? What we need to do is pray and ask God what His perfect plan is for our life, day by day. What are we going to do today, Lord? It's as simple as that. First thing, Lord, what are we going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do with me today? And then we listen. We know from God's Word that if we take the time to listen, He will speak to us. You can be assured of that. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Our God would not have said that. Jesus would not have said that if He didn't speak to us. So we can fully expect, when we take a retreat to be with our God, we can fully expect for Him to speak with us. Are we willing to invest the time? He might want us to linger for a while, so He may wait a while to speak. But He'll speak when He's ready. Got to have those retreats. Again, if Jesus needed them, I think we need them. Number four. I lost my place. Our Lord experienced a retreat when He was weary and needed rest. Do you ever get weary? Once in a while, maybe? I do. I get weary sometimes, especially since I'm getting older. I don't know what happened. I just don't have as much zip as I used to. I get weary easier than I used to. Mark 6, verse 30 and 31. Mark 6, verse 30 and 31. It says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus told them, "Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest." But we think we can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, and not get rest. And by the way, it's important that we get rest. It's really important. God designed it that way. And it's important that we get away with Jesus. So, a pastor was encouraging his people to be zealous in their efforts for God. He reminded them that the devil never takes a vacation. That's true. However, Jesus and the apostles found it necessary at times to go apart into a private place that they might rest and that the vital energies of life might be restored. If they needed this, surely we also needed it from time to time. We need rest for our bodies. We need rest for our spirit. The time that we put in spending with our God, spending with our Lord. He created us for fellowship. But we find everything else to do instead of fellowshipping with our God. We have all kinds of things. Well, I want to work more overtime because I want this. I want to do this because I want this. I want to provide every experience known to man for my children. So we're going to be busy 7 days a week. We're going to have our lives so full of ECAs, extracurricular activities, that we don't have time for God. But it's okay because I'm providing the best for my children. No. The best for our children is when we teach them how to linger with God and know Him. You know, my children, I always said, listen, if you guys will walk with Jesus, I got nothing to worry about as your father. If you guys will just be in a right relationship with God, I got nothing to worry about. I look at my grandchildren, walk with God, because then I got nothing to worry about. Because when you're walking with God, everything will work out for His glory. Because He's got a beautiful plan for our lives. But we have got to learn to take these retreat times and spend time with our God, getting to know Him. He already knows us. It's us that needs to get to know Him. Our Lord went apart to a private place for prayer when He experienced misunderstanding. Mark 6, 45 and 46. Spending a lot of time in Mark, aren't we? Mark 6, 45 and 46. It says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. There again, He set Himself apart, went up on a mountainside to pray. He needed that. He needed that time. He needed that time to come back to center, to get marching orders, if you will, if I can use that terminology. At times, even the apostles greatly misunderstood the motives and methods of their Messiah. Following our Lord's multiplication of the loaves and fish, these apostles were encouraging the crowd to marshal a movement to crown Jesus as their king. Our Lord broke up this demonstration and compelled the apostles to get into a boat so that he might send them away. After they were gone, he needed an experience with God and went apart for prayer. Being misunderstood is the lot of every person, and it can be very painful. Jesus resorted to prayer. Have you ever been misunderstood and maybe attacked because you were misunderstood and it ends up making you angry? Instead of engaging in the fight, if we would just remove ourselves and go and pray. Seek God first in all things, right? When he was misunderstood, that's what he would do. Number six, Jesus said the apostles needed time to be alone with one another. Mark 7, verse 24. Mark 7, verse 24. It says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Our Lord was an activist and was almost compulsive about ministering to the needs of people. Though he came to minister and his heart was moved by people's needs, there were times when he needed to be alone with his close group or team. If Jesus needed this kind of fellowship, it follows that we are bound to need it also. Guys, we need fellowship. This is the honest truth. I've told you this before, but there are people that have come into the church since I've said this. Our council of guys, we spend much more time praying together than we do meeting together to do the business of the church. That's the honest truth. We get together way more to share together, share our lives together, and pray together than we do meeting for the business of the church. And guess what? Because of that, in 21 years, and this is the honest to God truth, we have never had an argument or a feud at a council meeting in 21 years. Ever. That's the honest to God truth. Do you realize how rare that is? If some of you here have served on church councils, you know that's rare. The first church I pastored in Comanche, First Baptist, there was a night that it got so bad that as the president of the council, I stood up and closed the meeting. And I said, we'll try this again next week. And the following week, I showed up with a referee shirt on. True story. And I stood up. Well, I was standing. I walked in. I let everybody get there first, and then I made the appearance, you know. What are you doing with that? I said, last week, you all made me feel like a referee. If that ever happens again, you will get my resignation. Because Christians should not act like this. And I won't tolerate it. You know, it never happened again. That never happened again. Not that there weren't some disagreements, but it never got like it was the night before. There is great value in spending time together, praying together, before you make decisions that impact the church or anything else. There's great value in spending time. You know, when you pray together, you get a revelation of each other's hearts. Because when you're praying out of the heart, there's a revelation of who you really are and who is in you. So praying together, seeking after God together, that unifies us because we see each other's hearts in prayer. When you're locked up in prayer, you can't hide what's in there. Number 7, Jesus retreated to a private place when he needed encouragement. Do you ever have days you need encouragement? Boy, I do. I do. It gets tough sometimes. Mark 9 and verse 2 says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Isn't that something? There he was transfigured before them. About 6 months before his crucifixion, Jesus took 3 of his disciples with him to the top of a mountain for a time of prayer. On that mountaintop, Jesus experienced the presence of Moses and Elijah. They discussed with him that which was to take place by means of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. If you're taking notes, you can jot down Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. In light of time, we're not going to turn there and read that right now, but I included it in my notes here so you know where you can go look. In addition to meeting with these Old Testament characters, our Lord heard the voice of the Father expressing his divine approval. If Jesus needed to be encouraged, all of us need to be encouraged as well. We can find that encouragement if we take time out to go apart and be alone with God. And God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I wonder if he spoke audibly, whether he would say that about us because we are in relationship with him. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Now, I'm standing on solid ground when I make that statement because according to Scripture, when we are born again, we are grafted in. We are adopted into sonship. We are adopted into daughtership. That's what Scripture tells us. So what would God say about me? What would God say about you today? This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Or would he say, I don't really get much time with him. I don't really get much time with her. We need those retreats. Look at how many we've looked at already. We're not even done yet. Boy, I'll tell you, what was good for Jesus would sure be good for us. Number 8. Jesus went apart into a private place for prayer when he desperately needed strength for the impossible task he faced. Can you imagine knowing your purpose? See, he knew his purpose. When he came here, he knew that he would set up a ministry, that he would bring the kingdom to earth. Okay? He knew that he was going to be thrashed, that he was going to be spit on, that he was going to be abused, that he was going to be whipped, thrashed within an inch of his life, and then nailed to a cross and abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer to that is because of all of the sin, our sin, that was heaped on him at that moment, And he felt the Father turn away because the Father had to turn away from all that sin that was heaped on his Son at that time. And it went dark because the light of God turned. The light went out for a season. It went completely dark, guys. Because God is holy. And when all that sin was heaped on Christ, the sins of the world for all time, and that includes our sin, was heaped on him at that point. Every one of our sin, every one of us, it was heaped on him. He knew that was all going to happen when he came. And because of his great love for us, he did it, knowing full well what he came for. That he was going to have to die a horrible death, be laid in a tomb, and rise again. Thank God he was obedient to the cross. Thank God that he had sense enough to take his retreats to get back to center when the enemy was working on him. Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. This one's pretty long. It says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. See, he was struggling with it. The human part of him was struggling with it. We see the evidence of it in this. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Our Lord went apart into a private place for prayer as he faced his crucifixion, and he prayed repeatedly. At that time, he also needed the encouragement and strength of his three chosen apostles who were there but fell asleep. How many times is it that God wants to use us for something, and we're asleep? I don't necessarily mean physically asleep. I'm talking about asleep in the sense that we're not really in tune with the Spirit, and we're not on center. How many times? Well, I can tell you for me, probably way too many. Because get distracted. So I stand here today preaching this message, probably being the person that needs it the most. We need those retreats with Jesus so that we can know in our knower what the plan is for our life day by day. and that we will walk in it. Step by step, day by day, just walk out God's plan in our lives. In conclusion, we're actually getting done a little early today. How about it? If we are too busy to go into a private place to commune with God and let Him speak to our hearts and minds, we're entirely too busy. We don't have time to carve out of our day, every day, to spend with God. We have got to realign our schedule. Because God should not be getting the leftovers. He should be getting the first fruits. All too often, we find Him, especially it can be tough. Like, listen, those of you who are here, you're raising families, listen. I remember, it can really get busy when you're raising a family, and I was running a business and working way too many hours, day and night it seemed. And I know how busy it is. But we have got to find time every day to give God first fruits and not end up giving Him the leftovers. Because if we only give Him the leftovers, we'll never find our center. We all need to arrange our schedules to let God have the place that belongs to Him in our lives. We should spend a time of solitude with God every day, praying and reading His Word. We all can find time and space for private worship if we set our hearts on it. Not to do so is to starve ourselves, to see the blessings of God Father. We starve ourselves. We starve ourselves spiritually. We dry up. Listen, if we don't water plants, they wither up, they dry up when they don't get water. When our spirit doesn't get the water of the Spirit, we dry up. We miss God's best. So I encourage you. This message, I hope, has ignited something fresh in you, challenged you, convicted you. Convicting me, I know that. The retreats of Jesus. Maybe someday we can talk about the retreats of Kenny, or the retreats of Wayne, or the retreats of Mary, or the retreats of Marla, or the retreats of whoever, Brian, the retreats of Michelle. I don't know. We need those times. Our children and grandchildren need to see us living our life that way. They need to see that. They need that example. Is there anyone here today that would say, I'm backslidden. I don't have time with Jesus enough anymore. I want to recommit today. If that's you, just raise your hand. Right where you're at. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Yes. That's it. In the back, anyone? Praise God. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word speaks clearly in our hearts. You are not a God of confusion, so we should not be confused. Thank You for Your Word today. Lord, thank You for those that were honest and raised their hand and said, I got to get back to center. Lord, empower us to do that. As we submit to You, as we commit to You, empower us to do that, to spend time with You, to literally get our marching orders from you. Lord, that we will find the center of your will for our lives and walk it out day by day from this day forward. Lord, bring us back safely next weekend and throughout this week. Speak to us, Lord. We're listening. We glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.